we have, of course, right from the very beginning, this tree of life that's pictured to us in the very garden, in paradise itself. When God tells us the garden, it's this tree that points us to eternal life, the tree of life. But as you know, Adam didn't eat from that tree. He ate of the forbidden tree. And everything changed. The cloud came. Death came. He ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He ate of the tree that would be knowledge apart from God, without obedience to God, with a whole way of thinking on one's own and determine one's own direction. How can we overcome the effects of this departure from God? How can we overcome this death that's come upon the whole of creation? We have before us the need. Before us here is a life-giving spirit is needed for us. Eternal life. How can we have that in the very presence of God? We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44b, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Before his fall, before his sin, he was a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. How can we today overcome the effects of having that relationship that all of creation has with Adam, the first sin? There's an effect that's come upon all of us. Now, I think it might be good for us to pause for a moment and just to kind of think of all the different frailties that we all have. It's something that's very real. We sometimes go over that kind of over here, probably some can speak of how they're losing their sight. And over here, hey, we've had knee replacements, hip replacements, shoulder replacements. We've had heart replacements, or at least surgeries and all these different things. Eyes, teeth. Don't start holding up our hands what all we've had, because it might take a while. But there's all these things that are real pain. Read with me this poetry of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, such a book of reality, of real life. Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few. And those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire is no longer stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Now, with that kind of background, what's the great event of Christianity? Certainly, what we celebrate commercially and family-wise and gift-giving is Christmas. Without a doubt, that's the big event. But really, in the Scriptures, the big event is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. what we may call Easter or this Resurrection Sunday. That's the big event. Oh yes, the incarnation is important. Yes, just as the whole of it all, the crucifixion. But there's a sense in which right as the climax is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is that which is to be shouted from the housetops. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And it's where we are to realize it's not just something of an hallucination, 500 people seeing him at one time. It's not that he came as some kind of ghostly figure again in the minds of men. He ate breakfast. He was constantly eating and breaking bread with those that he appeared to. There was a reality of his body. He is risen. It's interesting how often the Gospels make that known again and again. Three times, for instance, Mark records Jesus' words, "I will die, but I'll rise on the third day." And then he says it again later on, "I will rise on the third day." And a third time Mark records Jesus saying, "I will rise on the third day." What was this resurrection? Nothing of ghostliness or hallucinations. It is a real resurrection. He is the one who overcame death. And so in that sense, he's the one who gives us the entrance again into the presence of God. He gives us the entrance to the tree of life. He is the tree of life. We have this great promise given to us in our text. And I believe there are three declarations I would have you to notice on the back of your bulletin that are given to you there. First, that Jesus is the representative of his people. And then second, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And then third, Jesus is the life-giving spirit of our life together. One sentence that's given to us in verse 45. There, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. He is now, present tense, the representative of his people. In Adam, all have a representative. The one who sinned, we sinned in Adam. All of us. This world has the effects of sin. There is that cloud of sin. There is the reality of death, death, death. How often does it come? As we often say, it's the most democratic institution on the face of the earth. One death for each person. That's the way it works. Sin has that effect upon all who are in Adam. But there is a second Adam, the last Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the last Adam is the head of all who are joined to him. All who are believers in him. Who have a living relationship with Christ. Read with me from these words of Romans chapter 5, verse 12. There, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned." Then look at verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses." And then come over to the next verse, verse 15. It speaks in verse 14 of how there was a pattern of the one to come. And then verse 15. "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" There's a pattern that was given. Just as Adam represented all his humanity, all his descendants, Christ is the one who represents all of us who are in him. There's a parallel there. Jesus is our representative. He is the one who represents us. He is our representative before God. and we are joined to him. Read with me from the words of John chapter 15, where Jesus is speaking with clarity, and his word there is that of his being the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There is a vital union that we have with Jesus Christ, who is that vine, that tree of life. He is the one in whom we have eternal life, the tree of life. The second thing here that is important in this one sentence is that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Notice how it says, he became the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Come back up to verse 20 and verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice there these words that speak of Christ as the first fruit of the great harvest that is to come. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 there. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then, as you have him as the first fruit, there is, in a sense, something interesting here. And I think to grasp hold of this, it's not that we have two distinct resurrections. He's speaking here that he is the first part of the resurrection that is taking place. Christ, the first fruits of that resurrection, and all who will follow him are part of the same resurrection. In Christ, we are with certainty of the resurrection. He is the seed that was sown in the ground, and he comes forth as the tree of life and gives, yes, wonderful fruit, wonderful life to all who are in him. He's the first fruit of that great harvest. We have a message in our kitchen that I often look at. It has these words, anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. We know that there are those who are joined to Jesus Christ, but if we would ask the question, how many? It's a number that no one can number. No one can count. There's so many. There will be a resurrection. Because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, all who are in him will have that glorious resurrection of their bodies. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection of millions and millions that are in him. And then third, Jesus is the life-giving spirit of our life together. He is the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Now, we have those words of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall not perish. We have reality in Christ, that he is that life-giving spirit. We often think of how Christ has given us spiritual life, the new birth, how Christ gives us life to live as Christians. We often think of how not only does he renew our minds and give us understanding and illuminate us to understand the scriptures, but he gives us that life spiritually every day, ongoing, no matter what our condition may be. But there's something here in a full sense. He is speaking here of a bodily resurrection. And here he is the one who gives us new bodies. It was a bodily resurrection. Now, The reality is, every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. Especially at this time, we think of the glory of that day. Christ arose from the dead, and there's a reality that in Him we have the assurance of new body. I think of those who have those twisted bodies, those who have gone through great pain and suffering. It was just these very days I was reminded again, just the pain of, in a certain sense for me personally, to always take hold of my mom's hand, her right side is paralyzed, and to know that someday that twisted, paralyzed hand will be made new. And we think of all those who have gone through that suffering that's very real. The thought of those who even now cannot see, losing their sight, they can't run and walk like they once did. There's words that have touched my heart of Johnny Erickson Tada that I would like to share just a moment with you. Most of you realize she has been for almost 50 years a quadriplegic because of that accident that took place when she was 17 years old. And yet God in a wonderful way has used her in writing of books and singing. Let me just read these words, though. I think, I, with shriveled, bent fingers, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light and bright, clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope that the resurrection gives some who is a spinal cord injured like me? Now, that, in a sense, certainly we think of that, but even those who are suffering with whatever your suffering may be, or the reality of those who have already died, there will be a new body. That's the great hope of the resurrection. Bodies more beautiful and more perfect than Adam. We will be given that privilege in Christ. Those of you who have Jesus as your representative, Jesus as your resurrection, have Him as your life-giving Spirit. So we come to that place. What does it really matter what people say or do to you? You can face the worst thing, even life with pain and with disappointments, even as we would think of our friend Tom Lawrence, in a wheelchair as a pastor, or our thoughts would be of little Trinity having to be carried about. Jesus is the tree of life, and there is that great hope. We really are those who have hope when the world is without any hope. All their great importance, they but testify that it's all going to burn up and it's all meaningless. Meaningless. But in Jesus Christ and His resurrection, we have the tree of life. We have life. His resurrection means we can look forward to a day when everything sad comes untrue. Yes. In Him, even the scars and failures but remind us of the joy we have in Christ. Nancy found in these days a 15th century French carol, a beautiful tune, and we found the words to that. And as we think of Jesus, our representative, our resurrection, our life-giving Spirit, I would ask you to turn inside of your bulletin and find that hymn, Now the Green Blade Riseth from the Buried Grain. Wheat that in the dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead had been. Love is come again like wheat that springeth green. There's no hope for anything without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything that you put together, it's but meaningless. But with Him, it all changes. Very interesting. The book of Proverbs speaks of the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The book of Revelation speaks of how that tree of life, its very leaves, are the healing of the nations. Jesus Christ is that life that we have, and in Him alone. The last stanza that we've asked John Patton to sing has this word, when our hearts are wintry, grieving, or in pain, Jesus' touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love has come again like wheat that springeth green. Even facing death, we have the tree of life, Christ. Let us pray. Father, we do pray for some who are without life. We pray, O God, they would even now enjoy trusting in Your Son, Jesus Christ, for life. We thank You that all the meaninglessness of wars and the ugliness of other people all around, the failures of families and nations and communities and, oh Lord, all that would seem to be such violence in our world, we thank You that there truly is one who in our place was made to be a curse on the tree, and yet He has come to life as the tree of life. And I pray, oh God, that You would touch our hearts, even as John would sing this hymn, that there may be that joy of trusting in Jesus, who is the tree of life, life everlasting. Focus our minds even now upon Jesus as the tree of life. For we pray in His name. Amen.